Ushers, come forward, please. Here I am to worship. And worship we do. You know, our tithes is a form of worship. Our offering is a form of worship. It's how we accomplish things in God's name. We bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Father, I thank you so much. You have given to us richly the gift of your Son and the blessings that you pour out upon us daily. And Father, we take this time now just to return to you that small portion, our tithes and Father, our offerings. And I just ask that you would take them and you would bless them. You would multiply them. And Father, that you would give us the wisdom that we need to apply these, to reach out in your name, Father, to glorify you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the cross, old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the cold, rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to
stand.
In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, such a wonderful beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify. someday for a crown.
Amen. Doesn't that just give you a peace? You may be seated. A couple months ago, Darla came and she said, I found the perfect song for us to sing. This hits everybody where you're at, no matter whether if you are in top of your health to being very, very ill, if you're flying high on the world, or if you're having the most difficulties. As long as you've got Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know you're never alone. Amen? Amen. Amen. You can go anywhere, anytime, and you always have a friend with you.
There's a time.
Thank you. Thank you. It's really great to be with you this day. Of course, my age, it's good to be most any place. I usually don't try to age, but maybe if I did that, it would give me a little bit of an edge this morning for you to put up with me for a little while, all right? 86 years old, and just before long, I'll be about 87. Been in the ministries for many years around Berry's Ridge and places like that and different places around. But, you know, it's really difficult to really give up. Sometimes it's us old preachers, it's time for them to give up and let the young ones come in and bring the message of God. But, you know, it just burns in your heart and you just can't seem to shut up. Because it's such a great blessing to be saved, to know the Lord, and to know that when you die, you're going to go to heaven to meet Him. Amen? It's a wonderful feeling. So we want to just try to share something with you by encouragement. That may be a little bit out of place because you folks feel like you're all right with it. But at times we do get discouraged. And that comes into our life quite often. So we want to look in Matthew chapter 17. Now this is quite a passage of scripture, and I've been trying to nail it down a little bit and not read so much of it, but there's so much here. I'll try to just go through a little bit of it as we look in this passage. It's in Luke chapter 20. If you want to turn to that. Luke chapter 20, we'll begin reading in verse 13. This is a tremendous story about two individuals, two men. These guys had been in Jerusalem. They had seen everything that had taken place. They realized that Christ had been crucified, and they were so discouraged. And I suppose that what I want to try to do, but you folks seem to be really jubilant. I don't know if you're discouraged or not, but there may be some here today that may be in the dumps a little bit about their Christian life. And what I want to try to do is try to encourage people to keep on keeping on. I know times gets hard, things get really upset and everything, and it gets tough at times. But I just want to encourage you just to move on with Him. So, there's a lot of verses here. I've got to cut down on some of it. It's almost impossible, but I want to do it. So in Luke chapter 24, in verse 13, these are two men who's on the road to Emmaus. Now in the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that happened. As they talked along and discussed these things with each other. Now notice this, you've done that, I'm sure, many times. Walking along, they are so discouraged. They saw Jesus die on the cross. They was there when he was put into the tomb. And so as far as Jesus was concerned, he was gone. And these men were so dispelled with it and so hurt. They just didn't understand it. They heard all of these great things that Jesus had done and taught, and now he was gone. He was gone. It was the end of it. And they were talking with each other. And as they talked, they discussed these things with each other. Then Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. I noticed that. They were so discouraged, and here now Jesus had risen from the dead. He came and began to walk along with them. That shows to me that God is concerned for each and every individual. Any one of you and me or anyone else in all the world, God is concerned about you. He's concerned about your salvation. He's concerned about your Christian walk. He loves you and he's concerned about us. And so Jesus came to walk just with these two men. That's all that was there. And they were kept from recognizing him. They didn't know who it was. He asked them in verse 17, he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" Now Jesus knew what they were discussing. He knew the burdens of her heart, but he wanted them to hear it from themselves. He's trying to get them to talk about it. "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stood still. They stopped. They're walking along, they stopped. Their faces downcast. You ever been there? Boy, I have many times. Their faces were downcast because they felt like everything was lost. He was crucified, and that was it. They stood still, and their faces downcast. One of them, named Caiaphas, asked him, "Are you the only one living in Jerusalem who doesn't know these things that have happened during these days?" So they was kind of a little bit, I think he's just a little bit edgy here. "Don't you understand? Who are you? Where have you been? The whole city and everything else has been turned upside down of this situation. And now you're asking, why are we so sad?" And then he goes on a little more in verse 19. He says, "What things?" he asked. And then they spoke out about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in words and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him." And as far as they was concerned, that was it. He's dead. He's dead. We've seen it. It took him off the cross. He was dead. The soldiers stood at his side. They had broken the bones on his legs. They had put him in a tomb. They sealed the tomb. And the Romans put up guards to see that nobody bothered that tomb. He was dead. He was gone. As far as they was concerned, he was gone. But he asked the question, "What things?" Wanting to get them to talk. They replied, "He's a prophet, powerful in all these things, and rulers." They handed him over and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one going to redeem Israel. And what is more, the third day since it all has taken place. In addition to that, so they just keep backing up, you know, building up on why they were so downcast. Indeed, some of the women were amazed. They went to the tomb this morning. They didn't find the body. Well, that sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Didn't find the body. He was dead, and yet another put him in the tomb. He's gone, and they were so confused. They didn't know what to do. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels. A companion went to the tomb, found it just as women had said, but him they did not see. In verse 25, he said to them, now Jesus is speaking to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these and then enter to his glory?" And so he's laying it right back on. Now he's saying, "How foolish are you? Haven't you read about the prophets? Haven't you studied God's word? Didn't you understand what things were supposed to take place?" He's telling them. And he beginning, now notice this, verse 27, he beginning with Moses. Now they're walking along and they don't know who this guy is yet. But Jesus is walking along with him, but he goes all the way back to Moses. Now, it was about 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And so they had a long time to walk and to discuss these things. And they said, "How foolish you are and slow to heart to believe all the prophets have said." And beginning with Moses, and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Now, that is a big order. Of course, only Jesus himself could do all that, to go back all the way to Moses and then bring it all the way up to the present time. As they approached the village of which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. In other words, this was where they lived and they was going to stop and go in and this was their home. And Jesus seemed to be walking along. He wasn't going to go in with them. And as they approached the village, Jesus acted he would going farther. But they urged him strongly, and they said, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. So he invited them in. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Now I have a little question on that. I'd like to put out sometimes. How did they recognize him? He opened their eyes And their eyes were open and they recognized him. I believe that they saw the nail prints in his hand. That's just my thought on it. But they did recognize who he was. And then, and he had disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us? And while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11, those with them, assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and he has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened to the on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. And now in verse 36, while they were still talking about Jesus, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be to you. And they were startled and frightened. They thinking that they had saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why is a doubt in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And when he had said these things, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything to eat? They gave him a piece of oiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. And he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, that Christ will suffer and raise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name through all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. I'm going to send you from what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power on high. And when he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and taken into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem in great joy, and they stayed continually in the tune of praising God. So what we want to try to emphasize this morning, what to do when all is lost, when you think that everything is just gone haywire. And in our time, we are faced with a lot of difficult situations and a lot of decisions. Churches are having struggles in a lot of places, and many things are taking place in our world that we never saw before. But what is a Christian to do? He is to look at the scriptures and turn his life completely over to the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent of their sins and believe him and trust in him with all their heart and soul. And we urge upon everyone to come to this point of really looking to the Lord and believing and trusting in him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So we want to just ask you today, how is it with you as individuals? Have you been through some experience of accepting Christ to the point of where that you know that in your heart, when you come to him and you ask him for forgiveness and to come into your life, that he come into your heart and life through the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you sure that you have experienced that experience? We call it and refer to it as a new birth experience. That means that a new birth means that I've been born again. That means that I've been born of the Spirit of God. And being born of the Spirit of God, I have become and you have become a child of God. And being a child of God, of course, you don't stay as a child. You grow in the scriptures and you understand more about it, and your life is more committed to him. So I just want to challenge you this morning, and you see I have a great congregation here, and you're going to great things. It's been many years ago since I've been in this area. I've never seen your new building. But what are we really doing to reach out to a lost world? What about the people in our neighborhood and those who live around us? Have we shared Christ with them? Have we lived a kind of a life that they can see that things has taken place in their life? One of the greatest witnesses that a person could have is someone who has been out of the will of God and maybe done some real bad things in their life. And then when they have come to that point of recognizing, hey, this is not working. My life is being destroyed. Things have taken place. My family has been separated and all kinds of things taking shape in a person's life and heart. Divorce rate is way up and all kinds of things is happening in our time. And so this is a time and this is the way that we need to come and just commit everything to the Lord Jesus and experience this new birth, that it being born again of the Spirit of God and becoming a child of God. And through that experience with the Lord, we learn more about Him. We study about His Word. We equip ourselves. I hear you with the Awanas. That's a great way to do that with the children. But adults and others of all of us need that experience with Jesus Christ the Lord. So this morning, I just want to challenge you with that you come to know Him as your personal Lord and Savior. So we thank you for listening to us. And maybe you think the message is a little short, but I found out that people can only stand a little bit at a time. They don't like long sermons, and I've never been able to preach long sermons because I like to really get to the point and try to lay it out to what a person really needs to do to be saved. I think that's the most important thing, don't you? They know that I'm lost without Jesus. And if I should die in the shape that I'm in right now, I would be lost. There's no doubt about it, because I have not come to accept the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. And the Holy Spirit does not live within me because I have rebelled against God. I've rebelled against Him for many years, many, many years. I won't go back into all of that. None of us need to do that. But there was a time when I realized that, hey, and I remember it very well. I spoke it to myself. And I got out of the service, and all things was going bad and wrong. And you know what happens in the service. So I was a desperate individual. And I said to myself, surely there is more to this life than what I'm getting out of it. God showed that to me. My life was a mess. My family, I was married, had two children, and my life was a mess. My family was about ready to break up, and all these kind of things. And I was a miserable individual. And I come to that point that day, just by myself, early hours of the morning. Surely there's more to life than what I'm getting out. And I knew what the answer was, because my dear mother had lived the Christian life before me for many, many years. She would walk to church about a mile and a half, one each way to church, while Dad would sit at home with the automobile in the garage. Mom walked to church, milked two cows usually, and still had time to go to church. And that made a big impression upon me as a small boy. There must be something tremendous about this walk with Jesus. As these men walked the Emmaus walk, they found out that Jesus Christ was Lord of all, and that He was died on the cross, but He rose from the grave, and praise the Lord, He's coming again. You believe that? He's coming again. When is He coming? I don't know. You don't know. It would seem like, you know, we see all these things happening. We say, well, surely the Lord is on the threshold. Surely He's about ready to come. Well, maybe and maybe not. But you see, the reason that we don't know is because if we knew, then we might get a little lazy, you know, in the Christian life. We may give up a little bit on witnessing to people and trying to get folks into church if we knew exactly when He's coming. So the surprise is tremendous. It has a great impact upon us by just saying, hey, now this could happen anytime. It could. It could happen today. But we don't know that. And so what we need to do, and I'm sure you're doing this, we need to do is to witness to individuals and do our best to talk to our neighbors. And there's people who are hurting, dear friends. There's desperation in the hearts and lives of so many people. Just read the paper every day. All kinds of things taking place in our world. And we have a tendency to kind of sit back and say, well, let somebody else do it. You know, I'm not a very good speaker, and I can't hardly share my faith, and so let others do that. Well, that won't work very well, dear friend. We need each individual needs to really witness for Jesus and let the Lord take the power of the Holy Spirit and work in the hearts and lives of individuals. And I just praise the Lord for you folks and for this church. And it's an amazing thing. And a lot of people, it's happening in a lot of places. There are people being saved. They may not realize a lot of it, but there are a lot of folks being saved and coming to know the Lord. So that is my challenge this morning. And I did not mean to speak very long to you. And I couldn't if I wanted to very far. But I just want to lay that up on your heart and have you to consider that and just say, now I'm going to witness to my neighbor. I'm going to talk to them a little bit. Go ahead and try it. You'd be surprised. You would be surprised what's in their heart and how they might respond to you. So if they do throw you out, that won't. The apostles, they got thrown around a long time, didn't they? They had all kinds of problems. So it requires a desire and a determination to really walk with the Lord and witness to other people. So the fellows on the road to Emmaus had a tremendous experience. And I've often studied that passage of Scripture, and it means so much to me, and I hope that it does to you. So my message today is short. I realize that. But it's just a burden that's been up on my heart. Whenever I have the opportunity just to share that with individuals, hey, we don't know the time. It could be today. It could be today. We don't know the time. So we need to really kind of shape up a little bit and be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to come. The clouds are going to break away, and the Lord is going to come by. And I'm anxious for him to come. And on the other hand, I think about so many people that's lost. There are people that we know some of our family and individuals and our neighbors, and they don't know the Lord Jesus. And this is such an urgent thing upon us in these days that we share him with other people. Those two men, they didn't get disappointed. They were down and out, but their walk with Jesus and he revealing himself to them, it really shaped them up, and they really got with it. I just love this passage because it resembles a lot of my thoughts and things. So I thank you for inviting me, and I just praise the Lord for you as your work here in this city. So prayer. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for this church. Thank you for the singing. Thank you, Father, for those that's walking with you and doing their best to bring people to know you as Lord and Savior. So, Lord, we pray the blessings upon them, that they soon find a pastor, that they could perhaps do a better job maybe in leading other people to Christ. But we pray, Father, that they would not be discouraged, but they keep band together, loving each other and doing your will in this place, that you might reveal you to this lost world. So guide and direct them and help them, dear Father, to look to you. And if you have a man for them, we pray that he would be the right person. And we pray for that search committee that they would be diligent in finding the right one. Give them wisdom and give them understanding to know who is the one that's to come and to lead them into greater things in this city of Coshocton. These things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
dearest friend, place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you walking alone through the shadows dim? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Christ will comfort your heart. Put your trust in him. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He will keep to the end. He's your dearest.
Heads, please. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for the glorious time that you have given us. We want to thank you for the word that we had heard today. We just lift you on high, Heavenly Father. We do know there are people with burdens on their shoulders that seem oppressive, and we ask that you just lift them up and strengthen them. Lord God, I just want to praise you and ask you to bless every household that's represented here. Ask you to put a hedge of protection around all of us. Do this in Jesus' name. Amen.